Thanks for spending time with us on The Green this week. I'm Tom Byrne. Researchers at ChristianaCare's Gene Editing Institute make a breakthrough in lung cancer care. The breakthrough reverses chemotherapy resistance, and the hope is this research will help develop the same results for other cancers in the future. In this edition of Enlighten Me, Delaware Public Media's Joey Irizarry talks with Kelly Bannis, lead author of this study and associate director of research at the ChristianaCare Gene Editing Institute, about the importance of the findings and what might come next.
Can you describe the breakthrough that was achieved by the ChristianaCare Gene Editing Institute?
Yeah, of course. So we've been working on developing a CRISPR-based gene editing system to augment standard of care therapy for patients. And so our recent research has come out over work that we've done over the last several years, really understanding what drives treatment resistance in patients. And our research has really honed in on a gene known as NRF2, which is a master regulator of cellular stress response. And so when NRF2 is overactive in cancer cells, it helps to really help the cancer cells withstand chemotherapy. And so what we have been working on understanding is how we can use CRISPR to really augment standard of care for patients. So what we saw was that by using CRISPR-directed gene editing to target NRF2, we can really disrupt treatment resistance within lung cancer cells. And this has really spearheaded us into understanding how this works preclinically. And now we're moving into conversations of clinical trials.
Before we move on, you mentioned CRISPR a few times. So what is that exactly?
Yes, correct. So CRISPR is a gene editing molecule. It is a breakthrough technology that really came out in the scientific community and into the spotlight back in 2015. It is a specific tool that allows us to target DNA very precisely and specifically. So it allows us to create a double-stranded break within human cells in a very specific location, disrupting genes. And it's been used across a variety of applications, biotech, agriculture, healthcare, and there are many different applications for this. So we are particularly using this to create a double-stranded break, allow the gene or allow the cell to repair itself. And this usually causes a disruption of the gene. So in our case, we're knocking out NRF2, which is an oncogene, causing a disruption in cancer cells. So through this mechanism, we're able to really disrupt these pathways that cause cancer.
Now, I can't imagine this was a simple study. I mean, it's for me, all science is not simple. So I just to get that out there. But how many different levels were there before you achieved this breakthrough?
Yeah, so we've been working on this particular gene using CRISPR for going on almost 10 years. Our first seminal publication came out in 2018, really identifying NRF2 as a driver in treatment resistance. And there we did some preliminary in vitro cell-based studies, as well as some initial proof of principle animal studies. And ever since then, we've been really working to understand how this CRISPR works in the cells and understanding how we can use CRISPR to move this into a more patient-based application. So since our work in 2018, we've been really working to understand how we can now deliver CRISPR to the patient. So in this recent publication, we used a non-viral based approach. So we were using lipid nanoparticles to deliver our CRISPR molecule of interest into tumor cells within an animal model. So we really kind of went from working to understand the molecular mechanisms behind using CRISPR to now really tying this together into a proof of concept study that really serves to mimic what a patient clinical trial might potentially look like.
Reversing chemotherapy resistance in lung cancer, what does this mean in the big picture here?
Yeah, so lung cancer continues to be one of the leading causes of cancer-related death globally. And a lot of these patients are faced with very limited options if they undergo treatments, whether it's chemotherapy, radiation, immunotherapy. Many times they develop resistance along the way and are left with a very dismal progression-free survival. What we've come to understand is that NRF2 is really a key driver here within treatment resistance. So what we're trying to do is really use existing approaches. So in this case, using gene editing with a known treatment resistance driver, really to make current standard of care work better. So we're not trying to reinvent the wheel here. We're trying to use what's already out there, and really to help patients become more responsive to chemotherapy.
Moving forward, does this open up the possibility to do the same for other cancers?
Yes, so we have been working very diligently to understand this gene, NRF2, and how we can apply CRISPR. And what we found is that really this is a platform-based approach. So we see that in our publication that recently came out, we're looking at a tumor-specific mutation that drives resistance. But currently in the works, we're looking at a more universal-based approach. So how can we target NRF2 that is maybe mutated in different avenues or maybe overly abundant in different ways? So we're currently working in collaboration with Corexor Therapeutics to really drive this forward into a more platform-based approach. We're looking at cancers like head and neck, squamous cell carcinoma, esophageal, pancreatic, liver. So the approach itself has great application across many different tumor types, and we hope to reach more patients.
Is the hope that you already got this started with lung cancer therapy that it can maybe be quicker once you get to other cancers, or is this you don't know? I mean, this is just going to be a wait and see approach here, and then you can figure it out.
Yeah, great question. We are hopeful that this will be able to be applied broadly across the different cancer types. What we see is some of the challenges with bringing this forward into a clinical trial is really the delivery of our molecule. So we know our therapy works really well, and we've got great data to support this approach. It really comes down to now, how are we going to get this CRISPR to patients? And so with our lung cancer work, we see delivery as being a little bit challenging. Because the lung is a very specific organ, but the field has really worked to understand how to deliver drugs and therapeutics to the lung in collaboration with Corexor Therapeutics. They just announced a collaboration with Merck and Inhatarget, which are companies working on inhaled delivery. And so we hope to partner with them to really push forward our preclinical work and make this more attainable for lung cancer patients. Now, for head and neck cancer patients, their tumors are a little bit more readily accessible. So we're looking at more intratumoral direct delivery. And we really hope that this really creates a platform-based approach for us. So once we understand how this may work in a cancer type, we will be able to move this forward and open this up to a more broad-based population of cancer patients.
Throughout this process, was there ever a time where you were just like, this may not happen? Or was there always a progression there that made you feel like, okay, we're getting there, we're getting there, we're getting there? You saw the light at the end of the tunnel. I mean, how did that go?
Yeah, I think the field has been rapidly progressing and changing ever since we really started our journey back in 2018. So I think with credit to the rest of the field and gene editing and the other great scientists moving this forward and all the support scientists in the scientific community to really find new approaches and innovative technologies for cancer treatment, I think it's really been a collaborative nature and spirit. So we've always had some light at the end of the tunnel. There's never been really a time where we've doubted ourselves. The scientific community has always stepped forward and had a new novel approach to bringing this forward to patients. And what we've seen through our various collaborations, it really is that the people around you who make the science better. So we're very fortunate to have great partners through Corixor Therapeutics and their network to really drive this forward and keep that light at the end of the tunnel for us, but also for cancer patients and what those treatments might mean for cancer patients.
How important is this, again, big picture, in the fight against cancer, or is it a just like another piece of a very complex puzzle?
Great question. It's a very complex piece of the puzzle for sure. But I believe that our work really lays the foundation for at least starting the conversation for cancer patients. It seems that the cancer population, cancer patients seem to be left out a little bit from the CRISPR conversation and applications of using CRISPR. And we're really spearheading this here at ChristianaCare at the Gene Editing Institute. We have a patient-first approach, and we recognized through our work and interactions with the Helen F. Graham Cancer Center that these patients need a voice and need options, particularly transformative, innovative options outside of what is readily available. And so we're really working to bring that forward to cancer patients and be that voice for these patients who may not have any other option at the end of the line of their treatment regimen. So we've been working diligently to really be that voice for these patients through ChristianaCare and the values that they bring forward as our institute.
Thanks to ChristianaCare Gene Editing Institute Associate Director of Research, Kelly Banas, and our Joe Irizarry for enlightening us this week.